I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Are you kidding me? Take all that other stuff and do something with it.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Here's another one. You want another one?
And another one.
415. It's interesting that y'all use his rating and not his QBR. This is on the Boxman Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text.
Fair. I think QBR is better than quarterback rating.
He said, dot, 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 horrible. Okay, fine. Let's use QBR. He's number 7 in the league.
Timeout.
Last year.
No chance.
Last year. 6-11. Number 7 in the league on QBR.
That's why you're using QBR. Because you knew it'd make him look good. It's the only reason why you read that text.
Lamar, Josh, Joe, Jaden, Jordan, Jared.
Stop so with the J's.
Words, Brock Purdy, number 1 non-J name in the NFL. Not
Jock
kidding.
Purdy.
Jackson, Josh, Joe, Jaden, Jordan, Jared, and then Brock. That's QBR. That's the adjusted number developed by ESPN.
Which is a more, I think, indicative number of your overall performance.
Great, so he was even better than we thought he was. Thank you, 415, for texting that in. Good on you, because Brock's stock just went up because of your text.
Brock's stock, soaring.
I liked what you said there when we were, because sometimes the show just keeps going into the break. That happens.
Yep.
You know the podcast that I've always wanted to do, the breaks. Because, man, that's where the salacious stuff comes.
Yeah, we found out some stuff about director of sports during the break.
Oh, yeah.
Keep that off the air.
Story about a girl. But
and
anyway,
food.
Yeah, and food. And baseball. But anyway,
there was yelling.
Yeah, we may get the story on the air later today. We're working on it. We've had our people call his people. But anyway, that's like you brought up the idea, and I've long thought about this, for instance, and I feel like this comes up a lot in Heisman Trophy debates, okay? They want that Heisman candidate, especially a quarterback. You got to win your biggest game. And I don't think that that's a crazy thing to want, but if you're a quarterback and you lose that game 49-47, I'm sorry, what exactly is it that you did wrong that day? What did you do? Okay, this is very Logan Webb-esque. If you go 8 innings and give up 1 run and you lose, what is it that you did wrong? And so football's got 2 sides of the ball. And you brought up the fact that, for example, this was just the first one that popped into my mind, but when they blow the game against Seattle, where Geno Smith gets the ball in his hands with 1.5 minutes to go and hot knife through butters against a bad defense and wins the game essentially at the buzzer, what is it that the quarterback did there to not win the game? And please, don't do the, well, a good quarterback would have been up by 14.
That's right.
Don't do that. It's professional sports. Don't do that. You know, what is it against the Rams? With all of the special teams blunders, with all of the pass interferences and all of the Ronnie Bell drops, what is it that the quarterback in that case did wrong to then have his record weaponized against him? That's my only issue. I'm not here boo-hooing or anything like that. I just don't want to see that record keep getting weaponized against him when we're sitting here looking at all of the facts and the data that would suggest that while Brock was not as good last year, don't let that tell you that he was bad.
Right.
It wasn't.
Just because they went 6-9 in his starts doesn't mean that he was 6-9 awful. And the previous caller, I don't think it was Zebediah or Zechariah. It was
Malachi.
Thank you. I knew it was semi-biblical.
Malachi.
But he pointed out the blown leads, and you mentioned 2 of the 3 fourth quarter blown leads. And the biggest one was against Arizona, where you go into the fourth quarter, you're up 23-13. The Niners didn't score in the fourth quarter, and that's not good. And that's on Brock as much as it's on everybody. But the defense gives up 11 and you lose. And the Seattle one, I'm just looking at it here. You had to punt with 2:45 to go. Seattle had one timeout. Complete sack. Geno scrambles for 16. Complete scramble, touchdown, game, night-night. So, hot knife through butter, and it was Metcalf and Walker and Smith and Jigba and the whole crew, and the big one was Geno goes for 16 on 2nd and 13. That's on you, Brock. That's on you, because you couldn't contain Geno Smith on a broken play where it was 2nd and long and he got 16. Should he have put it away? Sure. You have a 4th quarter lead. You'd like to think you win the game, but you didn't, and so the defense can't hold them, and that loss goes on the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, again, like this, sure. The numbers, and we're as guilty of this as anyone, I get it. The numbers can be twisted any way you want it, but it's when things start getting way over here or way over there where I'm like, well, hold on a second. Now that's where numbers can actually come into play, because you can give me some numbers if you want, whether they're team stats, whether they're touchdown to interception ratio. You can give me numbers that like aren't sparkly for Brock. I can give you some numbers that are, whatever this adjusted QBR stat is. There's not a person listening to our voices, including you and me, that could explain exactly what the adjusted QBR algorithm is.
The formula?
I have no freaking idea. But I believe someone when they tell me that it allows for taking QB rating and then putting some context to it that essentially makes it even more applicable to how that quarterback played. I'll believe someone when they say that. So I can give you sparkly, you can give me not sparkly, and I think that those are all fair. What you can't do is go way over here. You can't go way over here and go, so Brock sucked last year. You can't do that. You can't go way over here and say, we win. All of the people who thought Brock was the number 3 QB in the league are wrong. Nobody thought that. Nobody ever said that. Nobody thought it. I think there were moments in the almost MVP year where people, self-included, would get excited and use words like great, which I don't even necessarily think are not applicable yet. But is that a visual of getting excited in a moment where one of the best quarterback seasons we've ever seen, we're taking certainly the best one in recent memory for the 49ers, were happening? Sure. That's all part of the ebb and flow of a season. But you can't take these now 2.5 seasons or whatever exactly. You cannot take anything there and sort of make the case that that Purdy is threatening to be a bottom half of the league quarterback, which is what Nick was saying.
Basically, he's holding on to tier 2 and 14, 15, 16, which would put him at the bottom of the top half. And if he has a year this year like he did last year, he might fall to tier 3, and that would be unfortunate depending on how it goes. And it's basically based on 50 experts' opinion. This is not the definitive end all be all assessment from everyone. And the thing that I always have to remind myself about these conversations is all of this is so contextual, because Brock Purdy is asked to do many things that Joe Burrow is not asked to do. And likewise, Joe Burrow is asked to do different things than Brock Purdy is asked to do. Burrow is asked to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns if possible, get it to our guys, throw it a ton, and really carry the offense. They went 9-8 last year. Brock Purdy's asked to distribute, run the offense, control the ground game, throw it less, be highly, highly efficient, read the defense, and he went 6-11. Mm-hmm. But the previous year, trying to do the same exact things, they went 13-3 or 12-5, and they went to the Super Bowl. Every situation is different, Mark.
Totally. No, and what's interesting also is we're like bouncing around and numbers are numbers and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You know how you're always kind of like, hey, the Niners don't really rely on the passing game as much as other teams. And I think, by the way, that is sometimes something people bring up in this conversation, which I actually think to a degree is fair, where some will say, okay, let's go to other teams. Maybe this is maybe a better way to say it, rather than what they do, which is like, he had a bunch of all pros around him, as if Joe Burrow doesn't have 2 bajillionaires as wide receivers. But there are other teams where more is asked of the quarterback. The quarterback is more the central focus. This is one of the reasons I do love Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson so much. You watch those two teams play, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, you're the team. They look like they're the team by themselves, which is why I'm so, so impressed by them. But would it sort of surprise you if I clicked on another number, which for quarterbacks last year, a simple one, yards per game. And would it absolutely blow your doors off to know that, again, if we go by quarterbacks who played 15 or more games last year, Brock was number 4 in the league.
Yeah, that's part of the problem to
that's
me.
That's too much. Exactly. Yep, exactly. That's not what they're trying to do.
Show me where Jalen Hurts was on that list. He probably was about 17th.
Good Lord, I got to scroll.
Yeah.
Scroll. Jalen Hurts. Oh, my God, I can't even find him.
Yeah.
I can't even find him.
And that is my point about not only the tiers, because Jalen Hurts is higher than Brock, and he should be, but also how this is not a fair fight when you have this conversation, because last year, Philadelphia ran the ball almost 200 more times than they passed it, because you couldn't stop Saquon Barkley, you couldn't stop Hurts and the tush push, so why throw it? What's the point of throwing it? They threw it less than any other team in the National Football League last year, and they won the Super Bowl.
I found him.
30th? He's down there.
Technically, yeah. But that includes all the people who played like two games. You know what I mean?
What do you throw for about 210 a game?
Less.
Oh, wow.
Under 200. Jalen Hurts threw for 193.5 yards per game. Brock Purdy, 257.6.
Right, and that's my point about the Shanahan style, and we can get into this more after our special visit from our correspondent, but the Niners need balance. It's not a knock on Brock. It's the way Shanahan thrives.
Coming up this afternoon to 4:30, speaking of those Valkyries, they take on the Washington Mystics. Big game. They all are now. And you can hear it right here on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. You download the app, you search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pregame starts in exactly, what do we got here? About 47 minutes, okay? Pregame on KPIX. We're also sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. When you talk about superfans, when you talk about correspondence for a team, there has never been one like this, I would argue, in the history of Bay Area sports. But there is now, starting next on Willard and Dibs.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is quite a moment.
Quite a moment.
On multiple fronts.
So many fronts.
Again, we got Valkyries action coming up at 4:30 today against the Washington Mystics. You can hear the whole thing on our dedicated Valkyries channel on the free Odyssey app. Just go on there and search Valkyries. And then, bang, you'll be able to tune into the game. But along those lines, a couple of things that we would like to unveil right now on Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
All right.
First of which is our brand spanking shiny new weekly Valkyries superfan correspondent. This person is tapped in to the fandom of the Valkyries like no other. We hope that you've heard of him. He goes by the name Brandon Pajemski, Valkyries superfan and correspondent, joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Brandon, you there?
Yes, I am.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. Just chilling. Get ready for this game tonight.
All right. And then the other thing that we're going to see, you guys let me know when it pops and we're ready to rock, but we are going to have Brandon Pajemski not only on the air, but on the YouTube stream.
Pods is on the tube?
That's right. So not only do you get to hear Pods, Superfan Correspondent Valkyries, but if you get over to YouTube right now, youtube.com/957thegame, you can see Pods on the stream. So Pods, I hope you brushed the hair.
Yeah, curls are looking good.
Always. The curls are always popping.
Hey, man, what's kind of just your overall view of the way this season has gone? I loved a lot of the players saying this is not a surprise to us, even though it's kind of a surprise to everybody else that they're playing this well this fast. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely super impressive. I know that the last expansion team, I think, was the Chicago Sky, and they only won, I think, 4 or 5 games. And for us to be triple that right now, is really impressive. Natalie and the staff have done a great job. But I think all the players are just using this as an opportunity to showcase to the rest of the league what they can do. A lot of them didn't have those same opportunities with their previous teams. And so they're just, you know, taking advantage of an opportunity.
You've been so front and center, and it's been awesome to see. I was just wondering if this is a new experience for you, or are you kind of an OG when it comes to women's basketball?
I wouldn't say I'm an OG, but I definitely follow it just because, you know, playing basketball in the off season, there's only so much you can watch. It really comes down to baseball and women's hoops. And so I kind of just fell into it coincidentally. But I've enjoyed it. I think I've been watching it for like 5-6 years now. And so it's been an enjoyment. And now that we have, you know, basketball in the Bay year round, it's really cool to be a part of.
No doubt. So Superfan correspondent, he's always right there in the front row, rocking every single game, just about. That's Brandon Pajemski joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Brandon, I really dig this aspect of their story. Not that she got hurt, but the fact that they've still held it together. Kayla Thornton goes out with a season-ending injury, and the team is still able to hold it together. How does a team do that when essentially their best player goes out?
I mean, you got to try to do it by committee. Everybody has to step up a little bit. You can't just put it on one person's shoulders to do more. Everybody's doing a lot collectively. So I think that's just what the mindset has been. But they're a team that finds different ways to win every night, and I think, you know, we hang our head on the defensive end, and I think even though KT has been out, you know, we've done a great job of, you know, weathering the storm per se and finding ways to win.
How much does the atmosphere at Valhalla help this team? 10-5 at home, and, you know, you're front and center, and you've got 18,000 of your closest friends right behind you. How much does that atmosphere help this team have a real home court advantage?
Nah, it's electric. It's definitely some that I love being a part of. The noise in there is a different type of noise than what we have with our games. It almost feels louder most of the time. But it's really cool to see, you know, I think we have 15 home games so far, and we've had all sellouts, all 15. So just to see the support that the Valkyries are getting in year one is really impressive.
By the way, we want to remind everybody again, Brandon is not just speaking to us over the air, he is also visible on YouTube. If you want to go check out our YouTube stream, you'll see Brandon there. By the way, where are you sitting, man? You look like you're sitting in the backyard just hanging out somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in Orlando. I'm just, you know, doing a bunch of my workouts this summer here in Orlando. So I'm just outside enjoying the weather.
Looking good, man. Looking good.
It's muggy today.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how it works. I want to go back to the statement you just made, though, with regard to sort of the energy in the building for Valkyries games and how you said it almost sounds even a little bit louder for their games than it does for yours, right? It's a little bit of a different audience, different vibe, and different time in each team's history. But how would you compare the way it feels to be on the floor for the Warriors versus in the seats for the Valkyries?
I think as a player, you're so in tune and locked in the game. A lot of people don't know, like, when you're playing the game, you don't really feel how loud it is, and you don't really see many people in the crowd just because of how the lights are and you're so locked in on what you're trying to accomplish. You don't really feel the noise. You're just trying to keen in on you and your teammates. But as a fan, when you get to really, you know, sit back and not have to worry about anything on the floor and you can just, you know, be a fan, you can tell the noise is different. Obviously, the crowd is very much different. Valkyries games are more, you know, family-oriented. You see a lot of mom, dad, and kids. Where our games, it's usually not as much of that. So the audience is different, and you know how kids are. They hear other kids cheering, so they just want to cheer, even if they don't really know what's going on. So that brings in more noise, you know, as that is too. And so it's definitely different, but the product they've produced has been really, you know, amazing for me at least.
No, it's fun for all of us to watch, and we start to lock in on every game. And one thing that has struck me is the physicality of the league. And you're right there courtside, and you're seeing a lot of it, and the players have had their complaints with the officiating. What do you make of just how physical this game is and how they're trying to rein it in?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love the intensity that all the ladies across the league bring. But like I said before, we especially hang our hat on defense. And, you know, to see, you know, Veronica and KT when she was out there really being point of attack and, you know, just upping the intensity and the physicality and setting the tone and, you know, really making a statement like this is who we are. I think it's important, especially as a new team in the league and especially a team that's trying to make the playoffs.
He is our new shiny Valkyries superfan correspondent, Brandon Pajemski, here on Willard and Dibbs. 95-7 the game. Hey, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but assuming the Valks are able to make it into the playoffs, they're in a slot right now. The first round, because a lot of people, as you know, there's a lot of education around WNBA for Bay Area fans. The first round of the WNBA playoffs is a little unique or quirky. It's a three-game series with the better seed hosting the first two. So if the Valkyries were able to go on the road and win one of the first two, that would set up kind of a do-or-die advance situation at Chase Center. What do you think about that setup and who it kind of benefits, the lower or the higher seed?
I think, honestly, it benefits the lower seed, at least in my opinion, how I would look at it, just because, you know, all you have to do is sneak one. Like, you ain't supposed to win. And so if you're able to just sneak one, now it puts, you know, the higher seed, not at a disadvantage, but pressure on them. Like, okay, they just stole one at our place. Now we have to win game three or we're going to lose a series. So I think it benefits the lower seed. And obviously we probably are going to be, you know, 5-8, just reality. And so I think it helps us because I know we can win on the road and I know we can especially win at home.
Is that the mentality you guys took into Houston? I know it's best of seven, a little different, but just, you know, the idea of get a split and get control. And so as you look at a possible Valkyries series, it's really the same mentality you guys had going to Houston.
Yeah, I think, you know, both Houston and Minnesota, both being on the road to start the series, our goal was just to get one out of two. Obviously, in Houston, we were able to get both at home, which would helped us. But it was just try to get one out of two. We got game one both times, and so I think that could be a similar mindset for the Valkyries, just try to get one. Obviously, if you get the first one, it makes the second one a little bit easier, per se. You don't put as much pressure on trying to get that one. But, yeah, it doesn't matter where you're at. You just try to get one.
My man, did it just start to rain out there in Orlando?
Yeah, it's crazy now.
Muggy. So,
yep, there's Florida for you. Pods has moved inside. Brandon Pajemski with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, I want to ask you about Tiffany Hayes. She has a career mark, right? She passed the Cheryl Swoops on the all-time WNBA scoring list. I wanted to let you comment on that. What do you think that says about Tiffany's career as a whole?
I think it's just... Oh, my God, lightning. I think it's amazing just what she's been able to do. I think she's been in the league, you know, over a decade now, you know, coming over from, I believe, the Aces. Just to see the leadership she's brought to the team, you know, it's been amazing, especially for the young ladies that we have on the team. But her just being consistent, always showing up, offense, defense, kind of whatever the team needs, it's been impressive to watch.
And you've had a good chance to look at the coach, Natalie Nicasse, and her coaching style, and she could be fiery at times. What have you made of the way she's approached this team and how the squad has responded to coach?
Yeah, you could tell that she came from Vegas. She has a little bit of Becky Hammon in her. You can tell Her fireiness, competitiveness, just how she coaches, the style of play that we play offensively, defensively. It kind of mirrors, you know, Becky a little bit. But I think it was really a joy to see, for me at least, just her mindset wasn't just being satisfied with just a new team and expecting to lose. She wanted to come in and win games, and that's what she expected. And I think the players have followed suit with that, and you know, our record reflects it.
All right, Pods, Violet has hatched. Are you excited to meet Violet at the next home game for the Valkyries?
I'm very excited. Unfortunately, I wasn't there 2 nights ago against Connecticut, but I'm looking forward to meeting Violet and, you know, having a good time.
I mean, did you almost take offense? I think a lot of people thought you were the Valkyries mascot.
Nah, I didn't take offense to it, but I do think it's super dope that we, you know, we have a mascot. It's pretty cool to see how we introduced it. That was pretty special. I was watching the game on Monday and how we introduced it at halftime. That was pretty cool. And so, you know, I think we're just going to keep getting bigger and bigger when it comes to Valkyries and Bay Area.
It's such an incredible brand, and you know, you're becoming a definite part of it. When do we get you back out here? You've got Sunday and Tuesday, and then after that, end of the month, some more home games. When do we get Pods courtside again for the Valks?
Trying to get back out there for the end of the month. Obviously, I just got cleared for, you know, to be back 100%. So I'm just trying to. This is really my off season right now because I didn't have it, you know, in June and July because of my surgery. So I'm really trying to, you know, get back to it.
All right, we do want to remind everybody that that you do still play for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh,
so
that's right.
Yeah, thought with the schedule coming out this week, and we do know a couple of games. Let's get a reaction to opening at the Lakers. I think that I see that the Nuggets will be your home opener, and then the Dallas Mavericks and Cooper Flagg and whoever else on Christmas Day. What are your thoughts?
Excited, big time teams, playoff teams, championship level teams that we can play. You know, the NBA is really good at scheduling, you know, marquee games that people want to watch. And I think those three that you named are going to be really fun for us. Really good, you know, chance to see what we're made of, especially early on. But I think we'll be ready for it.
And the cup games got released also today, and tomorrow the full schedule will come out. Is that something that you and other players get excited about, or is it just, the schedule's out, I'll take a look at it?
No, I definitely get excited for it. I'm one of those weird people that memorizes our schedule as soon as it comes out. So just so I always mentally know, like, hey, where I'm going to be, in case I need to let family know if I'm in town. So I'm one of those people that just memorizes it, what road trips we have. When I go back to Milwaukee, obviously, is important to me. But just all those little types of things.
Okay, so when you join us next week, we're going to have you put on a blindfold, and we're going to test you. We'll go through all 82. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, Pods, thanks for doing it, man. Great to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Cool. We'll talk to you guys next week. Go Valks tonight.
Yeah, stay dry, Pods.
Yeah, game coming up in an hour. There's Brandon Pajemski. He's going to be on each week. We're shooting for Wednesdays around 3 p.m. normally, based on his availability. Valkyries and Mystics today at 4:30. Download the Odyssey app and search Valkyries to listen to the game and all games. Valkyries return home on Sunday this week, okay? And we'll host the Atlanta Dream at 5:30. Tickets are available at valkyries.com.
Pajemski.
No.
Pajemski kid.
No.
Pajowski.
Not really.
Jaminski was strapping.
Brankin.
Brankin is true. That one, yes, that's
yes. He's our super fan correspondent. Yeah, I stepped on it. Hit him again.
Brandon Kajemski.
Thank you. That's Director of Pronunciations, Lucas Alexander.
Pajemski.
I will say this.
That's my favorite.
That is that's something a little bit different, and I dig it from that perspective, okay? That's not something that I've really ever had in my radio career, I'll be straight honest with you, which is a player from one of the teams wanting to be a weekly correspondent for one of the other teams. And this was the moment. This is the guy. This is the team. It's a perfect thing. And so, yeah, we're going to talk every Wednesday to Brandon Pajemski, Brankin Pajemski, Poughkeepsie Kid. He's going to come on every single week. And we'll get a dip, a little bit of Dubs in there.
Yep.
But we're going to talk Valks with the guy, man.
In this season, just from a Bay Area expansion team standpoint, it has been incredible. I was just thinking, what was the last expansion team we had? Wasn't the Niners, wasn't the Raiders or the Warriors or the A's or the Giants. It was the Sharks. And their opening year at the Cal Palace, they went 17-58-5.
Woo!
And I have to check, but I don't think that they made the playoffs.
That's not good.
17-58-5. The Valks have a winning record. They're the only team currently playing in the Bay Area with a winning record, by the way. But we can get into that up in 10 minutes.
Oh, we will.
I know we will, especially after today's debacle, but the Valkyries are not only winning record, but they're the seventh seed in an 8-team playoff. That would be an incredible first year.
And they are only a game out of the sixth seed behind Caitlin Clark's team, the Indiana Fever. Like, it is objectively crazy. It's crazy, this achievement. And I love that a lot of the Valkyries players over the last few days, when kind of asked about it, because Thornton went down and then you lost a couple of games, and it was like, ooh, this feels like it's getting a little wobbly around here. It was like, bang, back-to-back, two-game win streak, get yourself back up above 500, move, in fact, out of the 8 seed to get into the 7 seed. Like, by no means do they have the playoffs solidified. They're only a game and a half away from being in the 9 seed. But, dude, they're in this thing, and a lot of them have spoken publicly and been like, not surprising to us. Which I get it. That's the right thing to say, but I also a little bit call BS. Like, I love it. You lost. You're an expansion first-year team. You lost your best player, and you're sitting here with a winning record in the playoffs, and you've sold out every game. I don't even think Joe Lacob was this optimistic about how year one would go.
He was.
Maybe.
I just remember the Chris Mullin retirement ceremony where he came out with such hubris about hanging banners, mm-hmm. and you know, fresh off the Monte trade, and he's already talking about banners, and, you know, the Boo Birds came out, and, well, four banners later, oops, you were right, Joe, my bad. So I would bet that he probably thought, yeah, we're going to sell out, and you know what? We can be good. Tonight at Washington, pretty big one because they have a two-game lead on Washington in the race for the final playoff spot. Yep. So a win, you'd hold the tiebreaker, and you'd push the Mystics down another peg.
Yeah, no, big one. And I love that, you know, again, I mentioned this in the conversation, and I don't think this is anything to hide from. It's year one for a lot of fans here in the WNBA. Therefore, there's a lot of kind of education involved. I had actually somebody ask me today. I had to take the car in. And shout out to all my guys at Toscalito in San Rafael.
I love that place.
Yeah, like they're tuned into the show, and the Valkyries came up, and he's like, "Have you been?" And I'm like, "I've been. Have you been?" He's like, "I haven't been yet." I'm like, "You should go. It's crazy. It's crazy the way the energy is all turned up." But a lot of you, if you haven't had the chance to go or really get to know what they're doing, he talked about their identity and that they are really, really physical and good on defense. They have the second lowest opponent's point per game in the entire WNBA. Only the Minnesota Lynx, who are 27-5, only the Lynx have basically a lower number in terms of what they're allowing. So that's what the Valks do. They've locked up Caitlin Clark every time they've played her. They're locking people up, man, and they have got unbelievable energy in the building. So, and it's only going to get better as we get down the stretch here.
And Coach Nicasse's got them playing hard and playing with the edge, and, you know, Pods is seeing it, and we see it when we watch these games. And if you do want to get out there, seven more home games. They've got seven more home games, and then hopefully a playoff. And I do sneakily like that format. You don't want all the travel, especially if it's, you know, you got New York and back here and then back to New York. That's ridiculous. So go out and steal one, and then game three at the lower-seeded team's house, that's awesome.
And then don't get on Pods for saying we. I'm into it. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line 707. Is Pods on the Valkyries or the Warriors? He keeps saying we, like he's on the team or maybe a coach. Well, he is a correspondent now.
Correct.
And the teams are owned by the same group.
Facts.
They share a building. They share ownership. They share a lot of stuff. And so I'm okay with it. That gets by the goalie in terms of using the word we.
Correct. And the other barometer for me is if you own jerseys of three-fourths of the players on that team, you can we it up. And I'm looking at you, Dr. Nirav Pandya, jersey in the cart.
What if you own jerseys for all of them?
Right.
I think he got all of them.
Yeah, and I wonder if he still will trot out jerseys of players who are no longer there. And I was next week I'll ask him, like, what his jersey-wearing mindset is, because he does a nice job of mixing and matching.
Brandon Pajemski on the Valkyries on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And Killian wrote a fascinating article in the San Francisco Chronicle with regard to the entertainment dollar and the choices being made when somebody arrives at Lot A in the Mission Rock. You want to go over there, see the Giants? You want to go over there and see the Golden State Valkyries? The comparison, the contrast, we're going to talk that out with Ann in a half hour. But there's one thing we need to get done first.
What's that, Mark?
The Giants' funeral.
What do you mean? They still have another 35 games to go or something.
Not as far as I'm concerned. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Little jam shot, hits the bag.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable. That kind of tells you how things are going for both teams. I mean, you're looking at a double play ball, and all of a sudden now it's a two-run, a two-RBI base hit.
Up the middle, and there's a base hit. So two runs are going to score. Giants are digging a hole. Hammered down the line. This will bounce up against the wall. And Ramos just let one fly totally away from everybody. And that allows Tatis to score.
That's unbelievable.
This one goes to the backstop. Bailey's going to grab it, and everybody's safe. So we'll have to see what happened on this. But it may have been that Bailey couldn't get to it in time.
That's a pass ball.
It's a pass ball.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All of those calls on NBC Sports Bay Area. And if in any way, shape, or form, Crook and Kipe, if you're on your way home or wherever you are right now, if you hear the sound of our voices, look, we feel for you. I get it. I get why you sound the way you do. Great job, as always, because you're speaking for the Bay Area fan. At a certain point, was it when Ramos threw the ball straight into the ground? Krug just
Correct.
Made a noise. Like, instead of words, he was like,
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and by the way, when Kipe said he threw it away from everybody, Ramos went out down the left field line on what was an extra base hit, and he caught it barehanded on the ricochet off of the wall. And for a moment, you're like, yeah, nice pickup, man. And then he turned around and threw the ball straight into the ground. Straight into the ground from the warning track in left field. I
came in here, Steiny and Goo were in a break, and I said, it's a heads-up play if you're a quarterback in the fourth quarter and you're out of timeouts. You got to spike that thing to stop the clock. It's basically what he did.
Oh, my God.
And he clearly didn't have the grip, and he threw it right into the turf. And the first play that Grandy brought us back with, we all were watching together, and it's a double play ball, most likely. It's at least a force out, and the ball hits the bag at second, and Karam's into left center, two runs scored. And yeah, you're snake bit, sure. If you lose the game 2-1, you're snake bit.
Bummer.
When you give up 11 and Christian Koss gets to throw his knuckler again, that's not you getting snake bit.
So I tweeted the other day and said the Grim Reaper's not here yet, but it's getting close. Giants are about to play the Padres 7 times, the Rays 3 in between. In those 10 games, they must absolutely go 7-3, and at least 5 of those wins have to be against the Padres. Today, the Grim Reaper's name is Christian Koss. He is the one who came in to pitch the end of the Giants season, which just in a meteorically unbelievable way has come on August 13th. Welcome to the Giants' funeral. We're here. It's over.
Yeah.
None of the results matter anymore. None of the anything matters anymore. Ask me if I wrote a eulogy. I didn't, because I don't even have the energy to do it.
No energy for the eulogy.
Here lies the 2025 San Francisco Giants.
You called the next of kin after they gave up 7 runs in the second.
Completely.
I saw you on the phone. I thought you were calling one of your kids, but when you hung up, you said, no, I was calling the funeral home.
You asked me why I wore black today.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, this is a black hat, but this is a gray shirt. But if you'll notice, what is that logo right in the middle of my gray shirt?
It's SF, but it's not orange and black.
No, what color is it?
Looks red and white, Mark.
Yeah.
With a touch of gold.
What do you wear to a Giants funeral? A Niners shirt.
Or purple.
A Valkyrie shirt.
Yeah.
Because that is where we have arrived. It is frustrating. It is just incredibly disappointing. And we can go through, we'll have plenty of time, off-season and the like, to go through the why, even though, again, this was my frustration yesterday. I'm so tired of everyone within the Giants organization saying, we don't know. We don't have the answers. Well, you better find them. You better find them. Because this is right up there with my highest levels of disappointment in Giants baseball since I was blessed with the opportunity to return home and cover this team starting in 2019. This, like, all of the Kapler stuff, all of the Farhan stuff, this stretch over the last month and a half to 2 months has been sort of what I would call either the most frustrating or just disappointing or embarrassing or just sad stretch of baseball play when you run it up against who are the people out there doing it that I've seen in this entire 6 to 7 year stretch. So this is the day. It's over. It's over. And everything you do from here on out, in my opinion, should have nothing to do with this year whatsoever, because this year is a wrap. So it is time to start assessing all jobs, whether that is manager, coaching staff, and everybody out there playing positions. You know, you just heard Krug calling another pass ball, you know, by Johnny Defense, who plays behind the plate for the San Francisco Giants, and drove in their only run today, their third run of the series.
Wow.
Their third run of the series.
5th in 5 days. All losses.
Job on the line. Job on the line. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But yes. Yes, you too, Patrick Bailey, just like Patrick Burrell. You too. Anybody named Patty B, your job is on the line. And I want to see younger players. I want to see people getting a shot. I don't even know if that's Bryce Eldridge. Flem was on with the guys this morning. I'll let you hear what he had to say about that idea here in just a second. But here lies the 2025 San Francisco Giants. You were not good. And quite frankly, we won't miss you.
Well, we'll miss you because we love you, and it just hurts the way that it went. Because if you go back to the Devers trade, and I'll never forget where I was heading south on the 101. I was between Santa Barbara and Oxnard.
Okay, then that's fair.
Listening to Roxy Bernstein do the national telecast, Giants at Dodgers, and the news broke, and it was, okay, time to go. Buster said it, and now you got Devers. This is going to be a fun summer, and you know what? We might get October action. And at that point, the Giants were healthy and vibrant and exciting, and then that season turned bad. They got an ailment, and it got worse, And then it got even worse. And then, wow, over the last, it's now 3 or 4 weeks that they've been really bad.
Oh, it's more. It's more.
Yeah.
It's more. And by the way, I want to clarify, when I say we won't miss you, I don't mean we won't miss Giants baseball. I mean we won't miss this version.
That's
this version
fair.
Of Giants, yeah, like I'm devastated that this is what it looks like on August 13th. I'm devastated. I'm looking ahead at homestands, hoping to bring people out to the game and still take in more Giants baseball. The Niner games don't matter yet. They're arriving in Vegas today for a game in 48 hours or 72 hours. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. I'm not that, like, I haven't even had a fantasy draft yet. I'm not that into the NFL yet. I'm into it, but we're not that into it yet. The Warrior offseason, meantime, hasn't even started yet. We're still waiting on that. This should be Giants baseball, but it's not. It's not, because they just completed, literally, when we said, all right, it is absolute the most desperate time of the year. If you've got anything left in that tank at all, let's see it. And they've uncorked a 5-game losing streak in which they've scored 5 times total. There is one bright side, and one bright side alone, to what has taken place this week at Oracle Park. And that is that it knocked the Dodgers into second place.
Yeah, for now. But
at this hour, yep. The San Diego Padres, ladies and gentlemen, are your National West leader, and you can thank the San Francisco Giants for that fact, because that was absolutely just horrible baseball that you played over a 3-game stretch against a team that offered you the opportunity for one last gasp, and you didn't have it. You didn't have it.
Yeah.
It was brutal. Just a brutal season, just, I think.
And it's the way it's gone, and I was just looking at this earlier. The Giants, in a third of their games this year, 40 out of 121 games, they've scored 2 runs or fewer. 40 times, Mark, they have failed to even get 3 runs. In those games, they have 3 wins, which, okay, 3-37. The Rockies have had 47 of those games where they haven't scored more than 2 runs. So you're basically, offensively, kind of the Rockies. And I know you've scored, what, 40 more runs than the Rockies, but the thing that really makes it more maddening, you look at the Padres' runs and runs allowed, they're only a tiny bit better than you. They've only scored 18 more runs with you than you. You've got this nice, nasty lineup in San Diego, and you don't go out there and beat teams up on the regular. The Giants just have no real offensive thing that they can hang their hat on. And I was thinking about this on the way in today, about the Niners. Like, the Niners, traditionally, you hang your hat on ball control and play action and the occasional vertical shot, but you use the tight end. You know what the Niners' identity is. The Giants don't hit for power. They don't hit in timely situations. They don't hit and run. They don't hit or run. What do the Giants do offensively? That's their identity, and that's where it becomes even more maddening, you know?
Well, they're the slowest team in baseball.
Right, and if you're the slowest team in baseball, but you hit 280 home runs, right, then right. Who cares?
Yeah, but why have the Milwaukee Brewers, who have now won 12 in a row and have the best record in baseball, you know what they are? They're the fastest team in baseball. And this is number one. If you really want to get into nuts and bolts, first and foremost, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Valks get going in a half hour here. Odyssey app, dedicated channel if you want to check in. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.